Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
When the central piece of evidence in your case is a bullet casing, has more controversy around it than a pineapple on pizza, you might have a problem. Richard Allen's case hinges dramatically on one small piece of metal allegedly linking his gun to a double homicide. But the reliability of forensic ballistics is being questioned more intensely than ever before. And I'm also questioning the legitimacy of that bullet ever having those markings on it when it was put into evidence in 2016. There's a way they might have got those markings on there. Joining us, retired FBI Special Agent Robin Drake, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, to help dissect exactly what exactly is going on here with the bullet that has convicted Richard Allen of these murders, and to help us break down the interrogations and the jailhouse phone calls that have just recently been released from Richard Allen, which are extremely heartbreaking. Trigger warning. Robin, I know you've seen a little bit of it thus far. We're going to break some pieces down, but just the 10,000-foot overview, what has been your reaction when you got a chance to see and hear those interrogations and those phone calls?
Yeah, so the first one I watched a bit of was the accusation about and the discussion around the bullet casing and the bullet. And the first thing that struck me was Richard Allen's reaction to it. Again, you cannot, statement analysis and behavioral analysis and all these things for truth and veracity is 50-50 at best with the best in the world. But I will tell you, his reaction was not the reaction of someone who was guilty. And throughout every interview and interrogation with him, throughout the accusation, the thing I'm generally looking for, and we should all look for, we all pick up on, is congruency of tempo. In other words, does your body language, does your verbals, does everything maintain the same consistency? Because they start out with a very open-ended comfort, you know, inducing baselining of asking him his name, verifying his address, doing all these things. So you're getting what his normal looks like. And then as they start escalating the discussion into other areas, you don't see a shift in him. Mm-mm. It's actually very congruent. He continues to be helpful. And then when they brought up the bullet casing, the immediate flat denial, not mine, not possible. I mean, it was boom, 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 boom. There was not like, it wasn't rehearsed. There was not a stress moment. There was not a, what do I say here moment? Because they hit it with him as a surprise and he was a surprise. So what you saw was they hit it with him as a surprise. And did you see the surprise on his face?
Yeah.
Not a surprise. Oh, you got me. Surprises, not mine.
Yeah,
you know, that's what struck me immediately on that one.
Everything running through his head, like how on earth, like there's no way. Yeah, and we're gonna get back to the bullet here in a minute. But before the bullet was even brought up, they tried to bring him in and get him to admit something that he says he did not do with the bridge guy picture, saying that the science says, I got experts saying that that's you in the picture, and the experts say it. And really trying to make him believe that there's a lot of people that are behind him being the guy in the picture, despite the only actual experts who've ever looked at the picture and have analyzed it have said it was Ron Logan. No expert has ever said that it was Richard Allen, and they can't say it to any sort of, you know, perfect scientific degree, but some of the experts who actually have looked at it have said Ron Logan, and they know that, but that, you know, eludes them. This is the very beginning. This is right when they bring him in, and they've put the pictures down and they're saying, you know, we think it's you. Let's take a look at how that all went down in his reactions here. This is a first interrogation.
Good luck finding anything that points in that direction. I mean, it's not me. You're not going to make me believe it's me. You're not going to find anything that ties me to those murders. So I'm not really that concerned. You know, you went from trying to, I don't know what you want to say, get my trust and then slowly lure me into telling you I killed somebody and I'm not going to do it. You know, I don't know where this changed course. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. Really not. I just want you to put yourself in the situation where we as police officers are looking at all the evidence that we have and what you've told us right now. Okay? Okay? Not trying to give you a hard time. Just want to make sure that we get everything taken care of here. That's why we wanted to look at the things that we wanted to look at. And that's not going to happen now. I mean, like I said, we're done here. So arrest me or take me home. I understand. So arrest me or take me home. I'm done. These are stupid. Okay. So that day, on that day, you went out there on the bridge and that you were wearing the same clothing that basically the same clothing that this person here is wearing. That's what you think. I don't know how you can tell that that's a black Carhartt coat, which is what I told you, a black or blue Carhartt coat. Blue jeans.
I'm curious. I mean, obviously, he's staying stable. His story never, ever changes.
Yeah. I got another thing to observe.
Yeah.
Too, but go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead with what your thoughts are there, because I have another question for you.
So in generally nonverbally, too, is when you, again, these are broad swaths when you're assessing nonverbal behavior. I don't do deep dives of all the micro expressions going on, but you do broad swaths of understanding behavior, what's going on here. So here he is in a situation where the law enforcement officer is telling him he thinks it's him. And that's him in the photo. And so let's look at not just the tempo, because again, you know, Richard Allen's or Ricky, as his wife calls him, you know, body language remains very consistent, very congruent. The tempo's not changing. Look what he's doing. He's leaning in and over. In general, when you are actually the culprit and the bad guy and they're showing you something at you, you get nonverbal distancing. There is no distancing he's making from that photo because it's not him. He doesn't feel it. So see what I mean? I said, so that's what it's another one of those little moments where he's not distancing himself physically from what he's being presented.
Yeah.
Again, nothing is ever conclusive in these things, but it's another data point that says he does not see that as him because he's not distancing himself from it. He's like, that's not me. Go.
And that's just one piece of this. And if anybody wants to watch the whole hour or some of this initial interview, please do so. It's on the channel. They keep going over and over. And I get there's interrogation tactics in this. But, I mean, from your standpoint, I mean, at what point do you go, okay, how many times can we go over this with this guy and he's not changing? They don't seem to be receiving anything that he's giving them. They don't seem to be reacting to anything that he's giving them in an appropriate way. They just keep pounding and expecting different results. And again, you've interrogated people before in a counterintelligence area. This is local police, but what are they doing here? Are they doing this really wrong, or is this normal and how it should be done when interviewing someone of this nature?
There's a lot of, you know, I don't like criticizing anyone because I don't know what their strategy was. I don't know what they were doing. It's not the way I would do it.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I tell you, the thing that really strikes me the most, because now we're reversing optic. We're no longer thinking and putting ourselves in Richard Allen's shoes and assessing what he's in, seeing these things for the first time. Now let's put ourselves in law enforcement shoes. Mm-hmm. Is the behavior of the law enforcement in there interviewing and interrogating him, ask yourself this. Do you feel, because feel is an emotion that we get from observing behaviors around us, do you feel that they believe that he, like in their souls, that they personally believe he did this? Mm-hmm. Or do you get the feeling that they were told he did this?
I was wondering that too, because that's
I feel an emotional detachment. So if they actually believed, think about this, if they actually personally believed that he murdered two little girls, would they be able to maintain that good old boy congruent? Because they haven't deviated their baseline either. Mm-hmm. They're talking to him the exact same way when they're asking about his address, to the exact same way this is you on the bridge, to the exact same way as the bullet casing, to the exact same ways as these two girls are dead. They have not changed their effect either. Mm-hmm. So they're having a non-emotional response to everything they're doing, indicating to me that they're playing a role that they were given.
Yeah, I was thinking of that yesterday because I said, I don't know if these people truly believe that he did it or if they're getting more frustrated because they're not going to be able to go back to whoever they need to go back to and say, look, I got what you wanted me to get.
Yeah.
Because they're not getting it. They're getting so mad and frustrated. And you can see it in another clip later where it's like they are just angry because they're not getting what they're getting. Not necessarily that Rick Allen is saying that he's innocent. It's just, damn it, my job. They're going to be mad at me because they said, go get this, and I didn't get that. That's what I'm wondering.
And see, now as an interviewer, I'll go back to that detail you asked too. Is what they keep trying to lead him down the path. Yeah. They're not asking questions to have him explain what this is, explain what this is. Because when you're interviewing someone, what you're doing during an interrogation a lot of times is you are setting up like they did. They did a good job of establishing an initial rapport. They did a good job of inspiring him to trust them. Mm-hmm. And he was very comfortable. And then you start then having them explain away incongruencies of what they're observing, incongruencies of what they're seeing from their data points and their evidence bringing in. Well, can you help me explain then? What they said is this bullet casing was from your gun. Mm-hmm. Instead, you rephrase it as like, what do you think is the reason why they said that this bullet casing came from your gun? See what I mean? You reverse it. Instead of making it about what they think, they need to inquire about what it is he can explain away that's being accused of. So it's reversing it. And they never did that once.
They only give him the one option of basically admit that you did this.
Yes, entire time.
And that's it. And there's no other possible explanation whatsoever. Let's take a look. This is now the second interrogation. So the first one was when they went and questioned him. The initial one actually was back when the girls died, when he raised his hand and said, how can I help? And then they sat on that for 6 years. And then all this time later, they're looking for somebody. And there's somebody up for election, too. So it'd be really helpful if we found the killer. And then they go after him. So there's the initial way back, the second, which is more current day. And then shortly after that, they get a warrant. They search his house. They take his gun, although keep in mind there was no gun used in this crime. But I get you're searching for you're looking into a murder suspect. You're going to take weapons. And they take his gun out of his house. And then we get back to the second interview, and suddenly there's bullet evidence here. There's this ballistic evidence that a bullet was found at the scene. And I believe there probably was. I think it'd be kind of hard to trace all the way back to the initial murders or fake that this thing was in evidence all that time. But they're saying it came from his gun. How interesting, because that's never been brought up before. Here's more of that.
I don't want to be included to begin with. So until the point that you have something that tells you that I did this and you want to subpoena or arrest me or something, I've got nothing to worry about. So I'm not real concerned here, but your attitudes towards me have definitely changed, and I don't like the fact that, you know, it feels more like I'm being interrogated. And so then you're going to tell me that you've already talked to my wife and my daughter and stuff. Like, how straightforward is that, you know?
Here's more on the bullets. This here is the same.
There's no way possible.
We didn't.
There is no way possible that a round from my gun ended up at a murder scene. It's not possible. So something's obviously wrong.
Something is wrong.
Exactly.
We both know what's wrong.
I didn't do it. And I'm not going to sit here all day trying to convince you that I didn't do it. No. You obviously think that I did.
I'm not going to sit here all day and convince you that I think that you did do it, Rick. I'm just laying down some of the evidence that we have.
Okay.
And we're going to get more.
I don't think so.
I'm only giving you the opportunity to get out in front of this. This is your opportunity. Like you said earlier, the truth is easy.
I've got nothing to get out in front of. I'm not going to tell you I did something I didn't do.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't want you to tell me something that you didn't do.
Then stop asking me to.
I'm not. I'm just asking you to tell the truth about this day. I asked you to go back and rehash it and you wouldn't. Why?
I told you, because I'm not going to... You guys are like trying to trick me into
doing
something.
I'm not trying to trick you.
I told you what happened. You've already got it. There's no need for me to tell you again.
Story.
Whatever. There aren't any. I don't know how I can make this any clearer. I'm not going to tell you that I had something to do with this.
Again, leaning in there.
So not just that, but first of all, people that have, in general, people that have done something wrong and that are being accused of it and they've actually done it and are trying to lie about it, you generally typically see panic responses of rapid excuses, rapid this, you know, changing the subject. I mean, you see a lot of different behaviors of stress being induced, because when you're being accused and you know you've done it, you have stress responses mm-hmm. in your brain and it leaks out of you verbally, non-verbally. You're not seeing any of that. You're seeing exasperation with him, which is congruent with some veracity here. The other thing too is notice when I don't generally do a lot of nonverbal assessments, but he's so dramatic with this. He is saying, I didn't do it. And now he's not saying it like this with high compression, open. He's, in other words, anything that's up and out, palms up, ventral displays, all the body language that is up and out says, I have high comfort with the things I'm saying. And as he's saying, I didn't do it, high comfort saying that. In other words, we have very good congruence between the words he's saying and the emotions he's feeling as he's saying it. That's why we believe him, because there's congruency, because they are just exhausting him. And that's why think about this. If you're a bad guy, you've done something wrong and they keep poking at you, you're thinking, oh, they're not believing me. I have to give them a better story. Oh, mm-hmm. they're still not believing. I got to try this story. Let me try this angle. He's not doing that because there's nothing else to tell. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it. See what I mean? He's not inventing anything because there's nothing to invent around a liar or fictitian. Ugh.
The tactics that they're using in this round, and we're going to watch another clip here where his wife gets involved. No tactics. I don't even know what's going, because it's so... I know in this country they can make things up, right? I mean, there doesn't seem to be any laws that prevent it, because mm-hmm. they're telling him that the experts are saying this, and the experts are, and we have witnesses, and we got this, and we got that, and many things that they don't have, and they never produced in court.
groupthink and social proof is what they're trying to use to convince him to confess to something.
But they're making it up. And I know that they can do that here, but I know I've talked to other folks, and I know our listeners and viewers in other countries are always kind of enamored with the way that we interview people or interrogate them, because there's laws over in the UK and such where you can't lie to the person you're interrogating. You can't tell them things that are not true, that you don't actually have evidence of, to try and get them or elicit a response. But they do a lot of that here, and they go to his wife and they convince her that this science of this bullet is, you know, bulletproof, pardon the pun, and there's no room for conjecture or anything, when in reality, there's a ton of room for this. There's so many problems with this sort of science. And then they talk to neighbors, and they pressure him, and they, I mean, how is that going to elicit any sort of confession from someone who didn't do it?
I don't know. It's nothing I've ever done. I've never, you know, so Now, Tony, here's what typically will happen. I'll try to bring out a prop for you for this.
Okay.
So typically—
Puppets? Are you going to do a puppet show?
Yes. I don't think I was ever allowed to do, you know, during I didn't rely on that kind of stuff, because generally if I'm going to interview a subject and do a subject interview, I actually know they're guilty.
Yeah.
Because I have all the data points. I'm not trying to see if you're guilty. I actually know you're guilty.
Sure.
So generally what you'll do is— you know, imagine this is a file. If anyone saw the movie The Matrix, you know, Mr. Smith does it to Neo at the very beginning. So we have a very large file on you, Mr. Neo. You know, so what happens is you can use props and you can insinuate. In other words, I can insinuate, you know, like this. Imagine this is like, you know, 3 inches thick.
Sure.
I got a lot of data. I got a lot of evidence talking about the bullet casing. So why don't you tell me in your words what you think is in this file? See what I mean? So in other words, you can use props and insinuate without actually telling untruths. And that way you put it on him.
Yeah.
And then what you should do is you're listening to words he says, and then you go back at a different angle. You ask the same question differently. And then you say, well, I heard that it could be potentially this. Would you be able to explain that away to me? And how does that— – so see what I mean? You keep poking at the same thing from different angles to see if he's consistent with the way he explains it. Because if it's a lie, the likelihood of consistency— – won't be there.
Yeah.
It'll be all over the place because we have a very, very hard time remembering untruths. And then when you link it to other events that happen later on, it all falls apart. And then that's what you do as an interview and interrogator. Say, well, can you help me understand why you said this here, but it doesn't match what you said here?
Did these guys
go further, explain. So
it feels like the investigators here don't even know what to be looking for.
They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, we're going to be hard, and that's it. And we, like, hopefully we get what we want.
I look at their age. They seem to be seasoned. You know, they've done this a bunch of times. That's why the way they're doing this, they either have never done an interview of this caliber before, because they have nice conversation skills. I think they're great conversationalists, but they haven't done this type.
Yeah.
Now, at the same time, though, to me, it still looks like they were told, go get this from this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they didn't necessarily believe it themselves, but they're told to get it. So when you don't believe in what you're doing and you know the evidence isn't there, you got to make shit up, man.
And my question about that is, who's telling him to do that and why?
Yep.
And is that just because they don't want to look bad? They don't want to look like they're incompetent, so go get whatever. I mean, is this just covering for incompetency or lack of good investigation? Because obviously we know the history. There's so many other people that look pretty damning in this. And just go get it. We got to get this done. What's the motivation there for telling them to go do that? That is my big question. Because that's going to tell us a lot, whether it's about ego and this just totally went off the rails, or if this is covering for something else. And that's what I'm wondering. Let's watch one more clip here. This is his wife is in the room and the investigator comes back in, and he's just completely flabbergasted at what's going on. Let's take another look.
I don't know how to explain something that isn't possible. But I know, this is what I do know. I know that no bullet from my gun was connected with a murder in any way, shape, or form. And there's no way a bullet from my gun would have been near Abby and Libby's murder or anything else, because I never even seen those girls. Period. And I didn't even have my gun that day. So that's what I'm trying to say. I don't know how to make that any clearer. I don't know how to make somebody understand. I get what he's saying. I don't have a way to explain it.
And they're like, there's a witness that said it was you out there.
Dear, I don't
know. And I'm like, how did they know it was you? So they said they showed her a picture. And I'm like, of course you were out there.
If they seen me out there, they seen me out there, dear. And I told them.
Were you on the bridge?
I told them I was on the bridge. I went out to the first trestle.
Oh, okay.
That first thing.
I don't remember you telling me that. I told you weren't on it, but I didn't.
It doesn't, hon, you're not in any trouble. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything.
Tell him, right?
Huh?
I didn't know you were on it. I'm sorry.
Well, don't worry about it.
You told me you weren't, so I just was.
No, to... I told you that I walked.
What do you make out of that? Husband and wife she's trying to understand what the hell's going on. He's trying to plead his case, and there's a bit of a miscommunication there of a conversation that happened 6 years ago of, you didn't tell me you went out on the bridge. It's like, no, I told you. And he's just seems frustrated at that point, because again, it just seems like it's going to look bad to the investigators. But in reality, 6 years ago, they talked about, what did you do?
So I want everyone to approach this from a 30,000 foot level.
Yeah.
Think about all the cases we've covered, Tony, or all the cases out there. Every time you have someone either committed a murder, who actually tried to murder someone, or even just a thief, just someone doing wrong in life, all of their focus is on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How it impacts them. That's what unhealthy people do. They're unhealthily unbalanced to self, and they have disregard for others. That creates unhealthy relationships, and then if it reaches escalations of self-centeredness and violence, and that's what we see in every single case we've covered. It's an unhealthy unbalance of looking at self and what it means to me. Every single case. Every time you hear and see Richard and his wife communicate, it's always about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it, honey. You didn't do anything wrong. And she's worried about him. In other words, what we're witnessing in that very, very short clip is two people in love in a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's just one data point, because we have others with the jail room, the jailhouse calls and everything else. His entire communication, every single time he's communicating with people in his life, his relationships, it's always about concern for them. Have you ever heard Lori Daybell Vallo doing that? Have you ever heard Alec Murdoch doing it? It's always about me, I. And so those are unhealthy people. This is a healthy person in a healthy relationship. Again, we all have problems and issues with marriages, but this is healthy people don't murder people.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the answer to that. I want to throw this theory out before we go to some of the jail phone calls, because I find it interesting. There was no mention of the bullet in the initial interview with him. That comes up the second time after they go into his house and they seize his weapons, and really they find nothing else. There's no digital footprint. There's nothing. They have no evidence on this guy being there. The only thing they initially had was the bridge guy photo that is 1,000% questionable, and really doesn't look a whole lot like Rick Allen. The guy is taller in the video. And so they realize that's all they have. And I think they realize that video is not going to put anybody away, especially when you also have other experts saying it's another person. They got the gun. They know they have this one bullet in evidence. Oh, looky here. It fits this gun. Well, how easy would it be to not spend the bullet, because you don't need to, rack it through the gun, and then take another bullet, for example, and rack it through the gun and go, look, this one from evidence looks just like this other one we racked through it just to compare. It's conspiratorial. It's planting, it's making up evidence. But I wouldn't be 1,000% surprised if that's what happened, and that's how that bullet in evidence has the markings, which aren't that accurate or solid, of Rick Allen's gun.
I've only heard of bullet casings in cases, not bullets themselves. I didn't do this area 100%
sure.
for my focus in the Bureau, but I've never heard of just a bullet. The whole thing's just befuddling. I don't get it.
I don't, but I'm wondering if that, because that's the only thing that they have on him. There's no other evidence. And that's flimsy evidence.
And the other thing behaviorally I want to highlight too is, so if you notice during every interview of him, even when they're asking him about his cell phone, where do you have it? He had it right in front of him.
No.
He didn't try to hide it.
No, he said, here's the code, whatever you need. I'll go look for the other one.
And so think about this. If this is the behavior, so I'm so used to seeing behaviors of people that are trying to hide things. I mean, even ask yourself this. If one of you out there listening or paying attention to this, you know, you have something you're trying not to let, you know, people in your family find out about, maybe on your cell phone or anything else. What do you try to do? You keep it out of sight, man. Mm-hmm. Nope. He's got it right there. I don't care. Because again, he is acting with full utmost transparency.
Yeah.
People that have done something wrong don't do that.
Yeah.
They hide things, even whether they think there's anything on that phone or not. It's like they think they're mine. Maybe I do have something. Maybe they might be able to track it. Let me just put this thing away just in case you want to look at it.
And he's not a dumb guy. It's not like he wouldn't. If he thought he had something that they were going after him initially, you'd probably want to get an attorney involved. But he's there because he thinks he's just doing his public duty. And
at the same time, and I know he's been through sequences of phones from there, that interview. But at the same time, he doesn't seem to be technologically up on things.
Yeah.
And so who's to say he wouldn't have in the back of his mind that the data, because they even asked him, you know, did you transfer all your data for this one to that one? He goes, my contacts, maybe. I mean, so
he doesn't know. It's like, I don't know what you're going to find, but you're not going to find anything of me being there. So take it and look.
I've never seen a worse case. I really haven't.
So they put him through all that. They eventually arrest him at the end of that interview. And then he goes to prison. To solitary confinement, because they got to get that confession out of him. Because he didn't give it to him then. This is an early call while he was behind bars. We're going to hear a slow progression of him going from sounding like he was a competent, normal guy, CVS pharmacy tech, dad, husband. He's still kind of there. He's starting to break. And this is one of the last competent phone calls he had with his wife. Let's take a listen.
You just know that if anything happens, I'll see you in the next lifetime. I swear I will, okay? Okay. You take care of the family for me. I love you all.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Okay. Bye-bye. It's good to hear your voice.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Okay. It's good to cut us off here.
Okay. I love you. Okay.
I love you.
I love you, honey.
I love you. I'll hold on.
Thank you for using GTL. This is a prepaid debit
card. I love you too much.
There's a little bit more from that call.
And every time I talk to you, I feel like it's going to be the last time I get to talk to you.
I know. I wish I could hug you.
I can't explain what's been going on.
No.
I don't want you to worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm a man, and I'll take care of myself. But I'm worried about you. And that's all I do is worry about you.
Oh.
So, and you let everybody else know how fucking much I love them, won't you?
You can hang in there, honey, okay?
Huh?
You need to just hang in there, because they're going to get you an attorney soon, okay?
Will you just let everybody know how much I love?
Of course I will. They already know, hon.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Nobody loves me anymore.
Stop. That's not true.
I know. I'm sorry.
Not true. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know what you told me. I know what you told me, and I believe you.
yet.
I just, knowing I'm never going to see you again, or at least it feels that way. I'm just saying, if it gets too hard, just tell them to come and get me, and bring me to see you, and I'll tell them whatever they want me to say.
Okay.
I don't need you to try and be strong for me. Okay? You need to be weak. You need to be held. You take care of yourself, okay?
Again, he's not making it about him at all. It's about
never.
How can I be? I'll tell them whatever they want me to say. For
to make
you.
Your pain go away.
Yeah.
And every other, again, I don't have as much data points as many other people do, but I have never heard a jailhouse call from someone who is guilty sound like that.
No.
You hear, I need more commissary money. Mm-hmm. Oh, the conditions are bad. They're not treating me good. You know, the food's bad. They're putting me in solitary.
Yeah.
Not one statement in there was about him and the impact on him. It was her, the family. The only thing that was about him is that no one loves him anymore.
Yeah.
Massive. So think about this. You can hear and feel the massive, massive empathy and compassion he has for other human beings. That's not what murders little girls. Again, we're looking for behavior arcs and congruence. And because he's got no prior arrests, he's got no prior record, he's got no criminal history, he's got no history of violence, he's got healthy people in his life. So in other words, murdering two little girls is a massive deviation from just data points alone. And now you have an emotional major deviation that would be as well, because his compassion for other people, you can hear it, you can experience it, is spite. And even when you heard him talking in another conversation about his daughter, about his son-in-law, you hear and feel the emotion he has towards other human beings.
Yeah.
He's in a service industry where he's a pharmacy tech. That's about service to other human beings. It's completely incongruent with the charges. It's completely incongruent with him. Now, granted, data points, suspect, on the bridge, same time period. So we take a look. But they totally, 100% ignored everyone else, and they didn't interview him. They accused him from the get-go and tried to force him, as they eventually did, into doing it, which he did to save others, to save his wife.
Here's after he's kind of lost his mind. This is the phase where he's literally eating his own feces and running headfirst into brick walls and talking about that he murdered his grandchild, which does not exist. You know, a sane person. And these are the confessions that they say.
Like, I feel like I've lost my mind, gone to hell or something.
I kind of live in it right now. It's not a good place to be in. Not a good place at all. And I don't know much saying anything, I'm sure.
But you know that I done it, right?
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Okay. Want to have a good conversation between us? No, just don't. Just. I guess it doesn't matter what I think, but...
Of course it does. Just in a really frustrating spot right now.
What?
I said I'm just in a really frustrating spot right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that that's nothing compared to where you're at, so
no.
I'm not trying to...
No. No, your side is a lot worse than mine. I have freedoms that you don't have, so I'm not going to go there. And I feel guilty about that.
I don't know why nobody will talk to me and be honest with me. I don't feel like anybody's willing to be honest with me anymore. I say everybody's afraid to hurt my feelings or something.
I think people have to be very careful when they talk. And we all do.
Yeah.
If I can get a chaplain in there to pray with you, would that be okay? I mean, I've been trying to get a hold of somebody, but of course nobody ever answers. You have to go to voicemail. Then it's full, so. But if I could get
somebody, I had a chaplain pray with me once, but it just doesn't.
Okay.
Doesn't seem to help me any.
Well. And it's okay because, I mean, praying for to yourself is going to be very helpful. It's helped me immensely. Yeah. People out there praying for you. So you just got to pray the bad thoughts away, hon, and try. The demons are fighting hard to get you.
I know. I feel like they've already gotten me. I'm already in hell.
No. Well, you're kind of in physical hell right now, but your soul doesn't need to be. It's God, not anybody else's.
I killed Abby and Libby.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't, Darren.
Yes, I did.
Don't say
I don't know why.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't, Darren. You're not feeling well. There's mm-hmm. something wrong. They've messed up your meds or something there.
No, I evidently did it.
No, you didn't. Why would you say that?
Because maybe I did.
No, you didn't, dear.
I think I did.
No, you didn't. They are screwing with you there, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. There's something wrong. They are messing with you. They are messing with your mind.
Did Dad tell you I called?
Yeah.
What did I say to him?
I don't know. I talked to your mom, but she called me in, and we're just worried about you because there's something's not right.
Is there a way to talk to Dad?
No, honey, I'm not with them right now. And there's something wrong. They're screwing with you there.
What did I say to Dad?
They have done something to your food, or they've done something to your meds. And there's something wrong. Don't you ever say you did anything, because I know you didn't.
I think I did.
No, you didn't. Why would you say that?
Because I think I did.
No, you didn't, dear. You know you didn't.
I wish I could say I didn't. I don't know.
You don't know. See, exactly. There's something wrong. They're screwing with you. They're trying to get you to say things. They're trying to mess with your mind.
That's some of the confessions that have come out.
Not a confession.
No, it's not.
So he starts out by saying, it's nothing compared to what you're going through. Then there's silence, 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 silence as his broken brain, and you hear how broken he is, mm-hmm. finally comes to the conclusion. The only way to make her pain go away is to say, I did it. But then he even backtracks from that, because maybe I did it. Mm-hmm. I think I did it. He's just trying to save her.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. That is the most heart-wrenching thing I think I've heard in a long, long time.
Yeah. I listened to it all for the first time live during a video the other night.
Yeah, me too.
And I shed some tears during especially the initial one where it was like, you know, like a movie moment, you know, like one of them's about to just go away and their life is gone, and the other one has to figure out some way to go on, and none of it should even have ever been here. None of this all could have been prevented. It was all because of someone's ego or somebody's covering something up.
So let's do a little data point analysis and compare and contrast so people can understand how this compares.
Yeah.
Think about, you know, go back and watch our video of us talking about Lori Day Belvallo and her test, you know, being her own defense. Look at what all these other horrendous people, Alec Murdaugh, look like in the courtroom. Look at all these people. And now look at this.
Mm-hmm.
This is real.
Yeah.
This is real emotion. Everyone else is faking it. That's extremely real. And that is a broken man that is trying to think of how to confess to something he didn't do to save his wife from more pain, even though he's the one, and she even says it, you're the one that's going through hell. And he's still, have you once heard him complain?
No.
That's remarkable. He's absolutely
like,
remarkable.
Yeah, he's just trying to, and he's like, you handle this over here. I got this. Don't worry about me. I will battle this myself. Let's listen to one more.
Now reverse another context on this one. From the very get-go, before we knew all these data points and details, you know, we kept wondering, why are these defense attorneys so on his side, so committed no matter what?
Mm-hmm. This is why.
This is it. They had this.
And on the opposite end, why is Delphi so against this man?
I don't get it.
I don't get it at all. Why they act like this is such a slam dunk case, and it's like the worst thing I've ever seen.
It is the worst thing I've ever seen.
And they sit there like, oh, we got our guy. Like, here's one.
And now here's, let's bring it back to the real tragedy here, besides the tragedy of what's going on with Rick, is there's still a murderer that they'll kill his little girls, or he's already dead because he died in prison already.
Exactly. One more. This is... Yeah.
I'm losing my mind, but I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
Listen to his voice here. It's like just monotone.
Yeah, so they allowed you to call, or have you been able to and just couldn't?
Great. This is the part where it gets weird.
Yeah. I'm right here.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on, hon?
I don't know. I just think maybe I've lost my mind.
Oh. No, honey. We've all lost our minds at this point.
So Brad and so I can trust Brad and Andy then?
Yes, you can, sweetheart. Yes. Let's not talk about anything that we don't need to, but no. There are lawyers, honey. There are lawyers.
Well, I need to tell you something anyway.
Okay. Are you sure you want to talk to me over the phone?
I think I have to.
Okay.
I need you to know that I did this.
What? No. There's no way. There's no way, dear.
Love me.
Dear, there's no way. Okay.
I hope you still love me.
I always will go love you, honey, but no, you have not done anything. And I think you are not well. so you don't need to be saying you did something you didn't do.
Well, hon, this is the first time I've been able to talk to you, and I've been trying forever.
Were you just not allowed to call me, or?
I don't know what's going on, hon.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to lose my mind now, though.
Don't. I'm supposed to be meeting Brad here for some reason, so. I don't know what he's
at, but. I've been asking for personal visitation, and that's not going through. And
I know.
Then it's taken me. Feels like it's taken me forever.
You have 1 minute remaining.
That's pretty much the end of that call. It almost sounded like he was reading from a script. It almost felt like to me like there was somebody there going, "Read this line."
He's trying to make the pain go away.
Yeah,
for her.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it's interesting when we first got the data, you know, and information about him being in solitary and definitely the effects solitary has on your mental state and how, you know, he might have had some mental health issues to begin with, you know, nothing.
He had anxiety and depression, which it's like that's 97% of the population.
Yeah. But now having listened to and experiencing their relationship more, I think that relationship exasperated the challenges of solitary as well, because it was solitary from her.
Yeah.
And the impact, I mean, everything is about her and its impact on her. And so I think that definitely his empathy for his wife, his compassion for his wife and family exasperated the situation. This was nothing but him trying to save them. How can't you believe anything else? You know, the only way you wouldn't believe it is if you're a psychopath yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's what I wonder about some of the folks involved in this case.
Think about it. People that have compassion and empathy don't believe it for a moment. If you believe he's guilty because he confessed, then you're a psychopath. I'm sorry I'm saying it, but it's just...
I agree. I don't know how, and I do not blame that jury. I blame any of the investigators. Because they didn't get the full story. They didn't get to know half of the stuff. But I'm sorry, if you're an investigator on this case and you take a look at this, if you're the DA on this case and you have access to all of these pieces, and at the end of the day, all you want to do is put more LA gear and slick your hair back and go on Dateline and say, "Hey, we got the guy." You're a sick human being. Because this is not the work of, this is not a killer.
No.
I don't even know what else to say about it. I mean, it's so glaring. It's more glaring than any case we've ever had of this is an innocent man. And it just gets more glaring by the day.
You know, and like you just said, in every case we've ever covered and I've ever been on, I've always been on the point of, well, show me the evidence. Show me the data. No way on this one. I'm done. I have such confirmation bias at this point of his innocence.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous because it's just, that behavior is so consistent. It's so, his life arc from everything is so consistent with him not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most befuddling thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
It is. It 1000% is. They're trying to appeal this, and
God bless them.
Hopefully more and more pieces of this stuff that's all been protected from the public because we can't listen with our own ears and make our own decisions and eyes. Well, we can now. And we're going to keep playing it, and we're going to keep banging the drum. And if you agree, you should too. You should share this. You should let other people know about how unjust this case is, because that sometimes is the only thing that moves the needle, especially after a conviction. They need to know that there's some outcry here, that there's some issues. Otherwise, they can just move mosey on their way because nobody's taking a look at it. This is where people out there can hold truth to power and let people know about this. So please share this. Let other folks know. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case. Wherever you're listening or watching this, we do appreciate that. But get the word out. That's why we're doing this.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now.
and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu with new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.